You guys still there?
Okay, I'll just be quiet.
No. You guys still hear me?
Yes.
Man, PG Admin just gets worse every release. Sorry, I mean this. I don't know what's up. It's totally unresponsive.
Oh no, it happens. Yeah, I mean, for restoring, I mean, large data, I always use the command line, because the database, I think, oh, all these years, I don't recall if it ever crashed, but pgAdmin does.
Yeah. It was just easier to show you in PG Admin, but
But the search part, as far as I recall, isn't that like the default schemas? It brings the data in if you don't specify anything specifically, or where it looks for functions and so on.
yeah, but I think if we lose the work schema from it, things that have been written assuming that it's in the path won't find it.
I mean, usually for most things, I have just always specified the schema with the table, but I've had an installation years ago when I, just set like the project schema to be the default one, but I would look in that one and then after that only in the public.
Well, it's important. I think they may have changed something here because I can't get this SQL tab on any of these databases to open. And it may be a change.
Weird.
Let's see where I click up here.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't want to waste time on it. Something's weird with PG Admin. Typically, what I would do would be I would select the database. In this case, it's this TC Lands, and then I would click the SQL tab here, and it would show you the database configuration, and the last item in it would be the search path. You just copy and paste that from the old database into the new one.
Okay, I will just look it up then. That
Yeah.
part.
You can do, I forget off the top of my head how you get the search path in PG or PSQL, but it can be done there also.
Okay, yeah, that will not to be too bad. I will find it.
Yeah.
So it's going to
That
build first.
that's how you do it. But you can see that the search path for TC Lands is pretty long. And so you got to set that whole thing. It's more convenient if you can do it in PGAdmin because it gives you the set statement, which I guess isn't terribly hard. I think it's just set search path, but it gets the quoting right or the commas or something. I forget what the advantage is.
Okay. Okay. Well, that I noted this. I will find it.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I learned something because I wasn't aware that you could just change the name of a table and then the view gets updated. I didn't never thought of that, but it makes sense.
Well, it's a real nightmare because not only does it change any dependencies on that table, in other words, if you have views or I forget it, there may be other things that it will change, but then the thing that really sucks is that, I mean, there's a lot of reasons you don't want to do that, but one of the things that really sucks is that the name of the indexes will remain the same.
Yeah, and then the
And so then if you import a table and try to give it the same name as the old one, like if you use OGR to OGR, it automatically creates an OGCFID column with a primary key index on it, and it automatically creates a spatial index on the well-known binary geometry column. Well, those two indices well, the primary key and the index already exist. And so then it'll complain and it'll say, well, that index or that primary key already exists. And the same thing with foreign keys. So it renames stuff that is essential to rename, assuming that you really wanted to do what you wanted to do, but then it doesn't rename other stuff that you will want to use in the future. So basically, you don't want to rename a table at any point along the way if you are ever going to try to use that table again. If you want to do a backup of it, do what you said you did initially. You recited the steps you went through. And the very first step you did was select asterisk as table, as new table. But then, as I was listening to you, you then said in subsequent steps, I think you said you renamed it or something, but that's when the red flag went up for me. It was like you just broke a whole bunch of stuff because views are now broken, but indices and other relationships are still there. And it just creates a friggin' mess.
Okay, yeah, the only time I had to deal with it was when I deleted a table and recreated it, then the viewer wouldn't allow that, obviously. So
Right.
I just did that and then recreated the view with a new table and the new columns you added at that time. So that always wasn't any trouble at the end. So the renaming, that's good to think about that. I didn't ever have to deal with that. So that's nice to know. Cool. Okay. Then we have, well, I'll probably just go back. I just take. Back. Okay, I just will go back to this that one. Here is my document. Just like okay, then I will do that first and see how far that gets us. So in general, is there with the info tool, and we have the info layers PHP. That is, where I get all the other what layers are getting information for this record, I guess, right? Because I think it does create something like a record and it can have a lot of different fields in it, whatever in the project is identified.
Yeah, do you want me to share again for one second here? My PHP admin is working.
Okay. One second. Chat. Now, where is it? Participants, I just.
I think I'm good to go.
Can you already stop share?
You see what?
Yeah, now I can see you.
You see what I highlighted there?
Oh, can you just copy that into the chat? That's different.
Yeah, that's what's sweet is that you don't
Oh, you
have
can
to.
copy it from the create script. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's from the database create. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, I'm gonna add notes about this to the wiki.
Where is the chat now? There's so darn many.
It is,
Is there it is.
I don't know, is it on the bottom for you?
I got it. So that'll be different for obviously each county,
Yeah.
but okay, I've stopped sharing now.
Okay.
So the info tool, I think I sent you a fairly detailed email how that works. It's in retrospect, as I think about it, it's a little bit kind of like unintuitively upside down. But and it'd be pretty easy to change. I don't know if you care. But what's going on is that in each county there's a symlink to the shared infotool.php code. And so all that does is sets up all of the kind of all the spatial query parts of it. It does I haven't looked at it in a long time, but it does some integrity checks. It figures out if the user has clicked a single point or if they've dragged a box. You know, it sets up some stuff for buffering a little bit. Buffering is particularly important when the user clicks on a point object rather than polygon. And so basically setting up the where clause. And then if you bring it up, the very last thing that it does is then includes the county's specific the county specific stuff. That's the county specific one. That's not the info tool you have up there.
Oh, this one, the info layers.
Right. See, that's the individual counties. So every county obviously has different layers, and they may have different columns in it.
Oh, right, yeah, and this is the Tison one.
Right. But Karsten's email, his initial email, was he was looking for where the ST intersect is, and
It's a ST within.
yeah, I don't know how much you want to look at this, but I kind of detailed it in the email. If you've got questions, you can open the infotool.php, and I can kind of show you what's going on there.
So the info tool, where do
That's
I
in the shared code.
that let me just see, what is this doing here? I'm just opening that one. Let me see. Okay, so basically the shared code, where do I find that? Is under somewhere here. Oh, don't even
It's under RWG.
RWG share PHP. The info tool, that one.
Yeah.
Okay, so I can just do this. That's what I have here.
So go to the very bottom first.
Okay. Here.
So on line 152 is where we include the county's info layers. So everything up to that point has pretty much just been setting up the where clause. And so then that info layers, which is specific to each individual county, is where it then steps through each layer and figures out if that layer is set. And then kind of sets up the from clause of the SQL statement. And then once the whole request has been processed, then we JSON encode it and send back the JSON on lines. We encode it there on 156 and we send it back on 158.
Look at that. One second. So basically, when I was looking at when I'm looking at the map here, this is maps, and I get all this back, and I can see in my the return that. Okay, I'm not sure if that is the correct line. Sean, let's do it again. Okay, no, just doing. Not sure why is that. Not showing the. Ah, here is the info. Okay, here it is. I guess. So this is the info, and that's where inside the info is what I was saying. That's the records of that stuff. So that is the output from what we just looked at. And that could, be different in each county, whatever goes, what layers they have configured.
Right, it'll be different for each county and it'll be different for each layer. But like you can look at the item 7 there where it's
Something
blank.
nothing
I'm
to
not
it. Yeah.
sure. I forget what that is, but that won't even show in the info tool. In other words, label for it won't be shown there.
Okay, so if we're here, so this is the general, and then there's the info layers.
It's a little weird the way I structured it in retrospect. It's not a common pattern. It's not wrong by any means, but I think probably the more readable way would have been if that info layers, if all the stuff that was specific to the county was the info tool, and then you rewrote this. I guess, I don't know. It's not actually, as I think about it, it's not even worth changing. But like a more readable way would have been instead of symlinking to the shared code, and then the shared code includes the specifics for that county, it would make more sense for the info tool to be the specifics for that county, and then for it to include the shared code.
Oh, it's fine either way. It does work. So that's just a matter of looking at it if we change things and break things so we'll make
Yeah,
sense.
I mean it's just a weird design pattern as I look at it in retrospect, but it does a lot of stuff. It's field tested, so I don't think it's really worth putting too much work into. I don't think it's I don't think it's cost effective to refactor it. It's not really that weird as I look at it.
Yeah, oh, it's looking this one. Then the sidebars. Okay, let's look at that. Let's take a short look at that. So the variables in the
The sidebar is really critical.
that is, I just opened this one, site variables in map server, etc.
Every county has a sidebar, which is the PHP variables for that site. And, again, in retrospect, I think I would have probably named it config.php to be consistent with config.js, but the most important thing it does in every county is sets up the database connection. And so every PHP thing has to connect to a database. And so as an absolute minimum, this creates the database connection. And it may, this is a particularly complex one where it has a whole bunch of other stuff. Some of which isn't relevant anymore. But basically it's the catch-all point for all the site-specific or county-specific PHP variables.
Okay, so you have links, when there's a link to this text site, then it's configured here in the photo directory and so on. The
So
sketches.
the pattern that I use pretty much with all these PHP things is that the first thing it's going to do is include the sidebar. And the first thing the sidebar is going to do is create the database connection that's specific for that project. And then, whatever PHP file it is going to carry on from there.
Okay.
I guess, hey, look, there's one more thing that I guess is worth mentioning here. I'm looking at line 10 of that sidebar that you have up there. And again, in retrospect, I probably do this a little bit differently right now, but the sidebar is in the web accessible path. And if the PHP processor wasn't working on your web server for some reason, Apache will typically, unless you've got some guardrails in place, it may spit out the PHP unprocessed. And so you don't want to have passwords in there. And so what I've done, so I'm kind of careful not to have passwords in the sidebar itself. And so you can see on line 10 of the file that you have open where you have it highlighted there, it's going to include a file that's outside of the web accessible path. And that guy will have passwords in it and any other private settings. Generally, there's very few. I think if I was doing it again, I would just keep the whole PHP sidebar thing outside of web accessible. But, again, that would be something you could change if you wanted to refactor it. It wouldn't be terribly hard. But that's if you're looking at that line and going, why the hell is he including the sidebar inside of a sidebar? That's because the one path is web accessible for the main sidebar, and the line one on line 10 is not web accessible. So if the PHP processor stopped working on that server, they'd be able to see this configuration stuff, but they would never be able to get at the credentials.
Well, that Apache behavior is actually pretty scary. Yeah.
is. It's yeah.
Because I've seen that on one of my servers years ago when the thing wasn't configured right, and then it spit out the PHP code. I said, what?
Well, sure, I see it. I see it when I set up a new server, I get a new laptop or whatever, and it always, gives me a little panic, like what, that's so yeah, in a normal operating server, that should never happen. But this is just one small weird thing that I'm doing to kind of try to safeguard against that situation.
Okay. Huh, let me see, where are we otherwise? Okay, maybe we leave the info tool. Do you have any questions, Eldon, that comes to mind? Because I don't, unless I break something, I don't have real nitty-gritty.
It's
We
kind of
actually.
where I am. I got very confused with the pop-ups and toolsets, but I think I have it figured out now.
Okay.
You got confused with what?
The pop-ups, tooltips, and the way the tooltip code also updates areas in the sidebar, which I'd missed at first.
Yeah.
So yeah, once I realized it did, I understood why those had disappeared for some users because of other changes I'd made.
Yeah. I hate the tooltips. That's a open layers thing, and it's sort of like I maybe it's just that I never got my head around what they're doing with it, but I find that and I think open layer selections or the select what do they call it? There's a couple things. I mean,
Select
by and large,
feature.
I really like open layers. I feel it's well thought out, well designed. There's a lot of logic there. But the select and the tooltips are two that I kind of go, man, you guys could have done better on this. But I haven't offered them any pull requests either. So, Karsten, you've got it up there. You did have two more items on this list. If you want to carry on or
Yeah,
not, I
just
don't care.
quickly, we could just was asking, is there any GDAL processing scripts you have to share in case I need to run these things? I've done this before. I've created bash scripts to process clip stuff. And when I got from Platte County, their pictometry, that's about 3,000 images, and they're pretty messy, overlapping tremendously. And so, just was wondering if you had anything to share in case I didn't need to run it because the WMTS is working well and has bigger coverage, so they're very happy with that. But in case you have it somewhere,
Yeah,
that
look in the, I mean, yeah, I have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours processing. The WMTS is pretty new. And so up until a year ago, I had to process all of that data. And I also reprojected it just for optimization, and that gets enormously complex with a tiled set. But for starters, look on the S3 storage because I think, I mean, every county has different scripts, and I've, done a halfway decent job of saving them, but they're not perfect. And
Oh, yeah, sure. It's just to have something in case it was necessary. It's faster than going from scratch. So,
pardon me?
yeah, I just if there was any, I look at this all. So on the S3 storage, you'll find in some of the counties you have processing scripts.
I think so. They'll be named, dot sh or something. I mean, I've got dozens, okay, over the years. So it's not like I've got, like one specific one.
I
I
have
think.
similar. I had, for a long time, I had to process data, the clip data for Africa, out of bigger data sets, and I've done a lot of TDAL scripts, and there were dozens of these scripts, not lining as long as yours, but I fiddled stuff together. So, I know how these things are. So you have probably many versions of different ones, but it can help if there was a need to be quicker than going from scratch. Because actually, in fact, I've never written.
No, I hear you totally. I mean, yeah, they're
Would there be a specific county that I might find something just looking at the moment? I just had here looking at the S3. Any
why don't
other
you start with Platt, since that's the one that you're asking about, and then
flat.
go to raster imagery, then go ahead and look at 2022.
Only
No, go
images.
back up one.
2020, yes or not?
All right. I'm writing myself a note. I'll send you a couple samples.
Okay, maybe I can find some. Actually, if the S3 bucket is mounted, can I find these by searching on the file system, or does it not?
Probably not. Probably slower than shit. S3 is not. I don't know.
Not
Your
quite up.
mileage may vary, but I just wrote myself a note, and I'll try to send you a few examples.
Okay.
The key thing is that you got to make sure it's a cog, and with
Okay.
modern versions of GDAL, it's pretty easy to create them now, but the biggest, most important thing, and I still don't think COG format defaults to it, is that you got to have JPEG compression and CYMCK color space. Otherwise, you end up with files that are enormous. But if you use JPEG with CYCMK, you'll get down to, you'll get down into the ballpark of a SID level of compression with a cog. The other place, I guess, I don't have, let me take a quick look. There might be one place you could look. No, apparently I don't have them. I'll get them for you. I would always save them to the hard drive that they sent. And so the hard drive that they send you will probably have three things on it. It'll have the tiles is small uncompressed TIFFs. It'll have the tiles as a SID, or a few SIDs. And then it'll have the obliques. And the obliques are the ones that are huge, and you can throw those away. We don't have the ability to display obliques. And so generally when I do the GDAL processing, and definitely if I'm going to reproject, I use the uncompressed TIFFs. If you don't need to or want to reproject, and you're in a hurry, you can convert the SIDs all in one fell swoop from a SID to a COG. The only thing that you get kind of dirty edges. Because since the SID is a compressed lossy format, the no data areas don't have a crisp edge with the data areas. And it's not that big of a deal, but if you've got the time, I would definitely recommend starting out with the uncompressed TIFFs. You'll just get a better output product, but obviously they're orders of magnitude larger and consequently process a little bit slower.
Okay. Did you just run that on the map server at the time, or would that bog the whole machine down?
Well, no, it's not. It's like you'd have to copy, hundreds of gigabytes up before you could
Okay,
even
so you
do it.
locally processed it also?
Right. Yeah, I just do it in my office. And
Did that run for days on end or something?
yeah, I've had processes that have run for days. And I mean, I've had processes uploading that ran for 3 weeks because my internet was pretty crummy and it was obliques that for a different project that I did have to upload. But no big deal. I mean, that's the beauty of running Linux and running tools like GDAL is that yeah, they can run for 3 days, but they don't crash halfway through. It seemed like with Windows, I don't know. I haven't used Windows in a long time, but I just remember so much frustration. I think Windows memory management sucks. And, so you could have something and you'd go to bed, feeling like you had it all right. And you get up in the morning and the thing had crashed for no logical reason. So, yes, it can take hours and days. If you're good with the WMS thing, that's great. I think one of the things that we had on our worksheet a long time ago was to talk to Eagle View and see what their policy is, because if they shut off that WMS service that you're depending upon, then you're going to be caught with your pants down. And like I said, they just started providing that about a year ago. So I don't have a long track record with it. And despite asking them multiple times what the policy was, I've never gotten a definitive answer from them as to specifically if our use of it is allowed. So if they turned it off, and then you've got, 3 days of processing to get it back online, obviously that county's not going to be real happy. I mean, it's not the end of the world, but it's just to get out in front of it doesn't hurt.
I will see what those guys. I looked up, what was it? The contract is running for another 2 years or something. I forgot, but something like that.
Well, there's some politics in there too, so I don't know. It's your call, whatever you want to do, but you can keep using it. I was just the history on it quickly is just that it was brought to my attention by one of the counties that this was available. And I contacted the one woman, I think I forget her name, Friday or something like that. And so she sent me the WMS link. And I went, wow, this is like a gold mine. This is a lot of really great stuff here. And then I asked her, is this acceptable use? And she never answered. And so then I started using it because I went, this is pretty cool. I like this. And then it was down one day. And so